Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Persons listening to this show are exposed to the truth. This has proved to be deeply disturbing to liberals, sometimes causing mental disorientation and distraction. If you are a liberal and operating heavy equipment or are engaged in potentially life-threatening activity, be forewarned. Pastor Scheidbach is about to make you mad.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air. Stay by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Ideological versus partisan politics. The aftershocks of the recent 10-point on the Richter scale political earthquake emanating from its epicenter in Virginia's 7th Congressional District have shaken awake a lot of sleepy folks, rattled some cages, stirred a lot of Republic rats out of their holes, and sent them scurrying to check their cheese. Baffled many Democrats, intrigued the political wonks, bemused to bewilderment, the snot-nosed establishment elites, those I call the Republican aristos, encouraged the Tea Party and might even have actually drawn some disheartened GOPers back to the party. David Bratt defeated Eric Cantor handily. Let's take a look at this, because it's about more than politics. It's about ideology versus partisanship. And I do hope you understand that this show is about a whole lot more than politics. In fact, this situation in Virginia's 7th District provides an opportunity to make that clear to my newer listeners, who perhaps think my show is political, when the fact is, this show is spiritual, ideological. It's not partisan. It's ideological. Let me explain all this. I know you've heard a lot of rhetorical abuse against ideologues. That is by design, by the way. And this abuse has come mostly from ideologues who are threatened by the ideologies or ideologues who disagree with them with effective arguments. Nothing is more absurd than for a committed ideologue, such as you find on the left, to ridicule the ideologues on the right for being true to his ideology. Now, an ideologue is someone whose ideas, and hence their ideals, come from a defined set of beliefs to which they are committed. Long ago, the word identified the study of ideas, of their origin, and the nature of ideas. Now we use the word to speak of persons who are committed to a set of beliefs, that is, ideas, that give rise to specific ideals that form an ideology with which they identify. Typically today, idealism is scorned. Of course, the word comes from the word idea. Technically, the word refers to something seen. In this way, it is related to the word idol, for an idol is a form of something, a representation of something. It can be a representation of something that is in the physical world, or of a mental notion of something spiritual, that is, immaterial. The word idea refers to something formed in the mind, or seen in the mind. John Locke, progenitor of our liberties, used the word to speak of what it is that the mind can be employed about in thinking. Pretty basic, Webster's 1828 dictionary. While ideas will include perception of things in the physical world, for example, you look at a car and the image of that car forms in your mind, and that image that's in your mind is the idea of it. Ideas also may include conceptualizations that have no correspondence in the physical world, and these occupy what we call our imagination. The fact that some ideas might have no corresponding thing in the physical world does not mean those ideas have no ground in truth. In fact, some ideas which have no existence in the physical world are nevertheless essential to our understanding of that physical world. And there are a lot of examples of this, but one simple one is numbers. Numbers actually have no existence in the physical world. They are abstracts. that help us understand the physical world in terms of quantities and locations in space, or points in space. Okay, this is getting out into deeper waters, and I fear some of our newer brain massage listeners might get out beyond where their feet can find the bottom as they bounce and bob trying to keep their head above water. Har har. But really, stay with me here, because there's a profound missile of insight aimed right at your head, which will sink into your heart with an explosive burst of understanding on an important matter. Really, numbers are abstract concepts that help us understand the physical world around us. And there are many such abstract concepts that have no concrete existence in the physical world that are nevertheless essential truths that help us understand and function in the physical world. Now, therefore, the ideal world of numbers, where you have prime, odd, even, complex, real, and imaginary numbers which, by the way, are nevertheless actual numbers that are essential to certain calculations and so on, although abstract, they are absolutely essential to rightly understanding and even functioning in some specific areas in the physical world. Likewise, the abstract moral laws of our Creator are absolutely essential to rightly functioning in His physical creation, so that, for an example, behaviors like homosexuality, which are contrary to nature and nature's God, violate the spiritual or abstract laws of the Creator and result in devastating physical consequences in the creation. All right, that's just a way of helping you try to see the connection between abstract truth and in the physical world we live in. Now, an idea is a thought that exists in the mind, which may or may not have a counterpart in the physical world. And although the idea might not have an existence in the physical world, it may be nevertheless true and therefore real. That is, it does have a place in reality. Follow that? Do you agree with me that numbers have a place in reality, even though they have no place in the physical world? That is, they have no existence in the physical world. Okay? Now, for the word idea, we get the word ideal. And the word ideal refers to something that can exist only in the form of an idea. Follow this? Something that is ideal can therefore be perfect and absolute. An idea that is called an ideal is something scorners would mock and say, an ideal exists only in the imagination, that it is impractical. One has said, for example, that, quote, there will always be a wide interval between practical and ideal excellence, end quote. And that's Webster's 1828, quoting The Rambler, page 855 by Samuel Johnson. And of course, that would be true. From the time that sin entered into creation by the rebellion of Satan and the defection of man, there can never be an exact one-to-one correspondence between the ideal and the physical world. For the entire, quote, creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, end quote, Romans 8:28, because of the exposure of the creation to vanity. And I forgot to give you a Bible thump alert, but, you know, Bible thumps only bruise the brains of weak-minded but arrogant, supercilious characters who continue to hold on to Darwin despite the fact he's been thoroughly debunked by real science. You want to take me on that? No takers? Figures. So, are you with me so far? An idea is a thought that might or might not have a corresponding existence in the physical world. Those ideas that have no existence in the physical world may be nevertheless true and essential, and they do exist in reality. The word ideal comes from the word idea, and it refers to a thought or a notion that only has existence in the mind, and yet may have existence in reality. Now, from ideal comes the word ideology. An ideology refers to the set of ideals one accepts as truths that explain the why and wherefore of life in the physical world, and they guide how we function in the physical world. The relationship between ideals and practical function is easy to understand. For example, I strive for the ideal of perfection in the production of every show. However, I am sure that every show falls short of that ideal. Nevertheless, it is in the striving for the ideal that makes the show ideal. Get it? I think you understand. The ideal is the mark, the high mark, the goal, the objective toward which we strive. And when you give up on your ideals and yield to so-called pragmatism and surrender your ideals in order to be practical, you will find the result is a swift degeneration into corruption and a surrender to the corrosives introduced into creation by sin, a quick slide into the murky muck and sludge of degenerate behavior. Simple example. Give up on the ideal of truth, because men are constantly inclined toward the lie, and you end up with nothing but one lie competing with another lie, and then lies to cover up those lies with lies, or in other words, you end up with Obama. Now, here is the point out of the first segment of your deep massage today that I want you to take away from our discussion today. God, give us committed ideologues. Give us men and women who actually believe in some ideals and whose commitment to those ideals is so powerful. They will never surrender them to so-called practical considerations. Now, I must end the first segment, but listen. Cantor was a man of high ideals when he first went to Washington. At least, he sold himself to the voters as such. When he got to Washington, however, he began to surrender those ideals to practical considerations. He did this in order to curry favor with the party. He did what gopers do all over the country today. He laid his ideals on the altar of practical considerations and so lost sight of his ideals. Now, David Bratt comes along, asserts his ideals, presents himself as a committed right-wing conservative ideologue, and wipes out the wishy-washy pragmatist. And this is the thing about conservatism that people do not understand. An Alinsky lefty can lie and in lying stay true to his or her ideology because their ideology is built on lies. Lying is their stock in trade. An Alinsky lefty, like Obama and Hillary et al., remains faithful and true to their ideology, unwavering in their pursuit of their ideological values, even when they pretend to move a little toward the right now and then in order to maintain power to continue to push their agenda because their agenda is lies. And the result they labor for is lies. Their end is power. And so whatever gives them power, they can do without compromise to their ideology, because their ideology is to get and maintain power. But for truth, there is a difference. Truth cannot be advanced with lies. Truth cannot be supported with lies. These are contrary to one another. Any element of deceit added to truth makes it a lie and serves the enemy of truth. You cannot advance truth the same way the Alinsky lefties advance their agenda. And here is the point. A partisan is faithful to his party. He is not faithful to his ideology. His loyalty is to his party. Those in the GOP who sacrifice ideology in service to the party are partisans and traitors to their ideology. It is the definition of partisan politics. Give me the politics of ideology any day over the politics of party. And now hear this, and now hear this. Ideology will triumph over partisanship virtually every time. We rarely have an opportunity to support an ideological conservative. But every time we get that opportunity, as with Reagan and some others, we gladly give him our support. The reason David Bratt beat Eric Cantor is because David Bratt presented himself as a sincere conservative, faithful to the ideology of conservatism, giving rise to the hope that he will remain loyal to conservative ideology in the face of mounting pressure he's sure to experience of partisan politics that he's going to encounter on the Hill. And anytime you take a position that is shaped by the inane notion that it is necessary to take that position in order to win for the party, you lost me. I'm a Christian conservative ideologue. My loyalties are not owned by any party. But I'll tell you this. Whenever conservatives put forward a candidate that is able to articulate conservative ideology clearly, sincerely, and is able to convince the voters he has the courage of his convictions to remain faithful to them despite the pressure of party politics, you've got a winner. A lot of Republicans showed up to vote for David Bratt, who stayed home for Romney. Okay, no more time to deal with this. In the next segment, wow, I've got some great brain-massaging commentary on developments in the Bergdahl case and on this immigration issue. Hold on through the break. I'll be right back.
Have you ever complained against the White House and the House of Congress for despising our laws, showing contempt for our Constitution, and turning their back on our founding values and beliefs? Does it seem the Lord has forsaken the people's houses? And by the way, how's your house doing? Perhaps there is another house you should think about, the house of God, the church, which according to Jesus is the pillar and ground of the truth. He told us not to forsake the house of God. Have you? How long has it been since your family gathered with God's people in His house? God can fix the White House and the House of Congress and your house too. But remember, He begins with His own house. Every great revival has begun with a return to the house of God. God will return to our houses when we return to His. Lighthouse Baptist Church invites you to join us in the house of God this Sunday. Call 805-347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind man's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today. Or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
Is going to church like walking on a treadmill? You keep going and going, getting nowhere? Has your faith made the difference you're looking for? Come to the church that makes a difference. Lighthouse Baptist Church, a lighthouse for the family. Call 347-9887 for more information.
Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com for an archive of great brain massage shows that you can download and distribute to others free of charge. If you want to give us a gift to help with broadcasting costs, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. The Brain Massage Show is ready to go. Get ready. Your brain is about to get a massage.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheibach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. As you know, conservative David Brat blew moderate Eric Cantor out of the water in the Virginia primary, and now it remains to be seen whether this will translate into a victory for conservatives in November. Pray as if it all depends on God, work as if it all depends on you. Many think it was immigration what done Cantor in. It is true, immigration was a focal point of David Brat's campaign against Cantor in the Virginia 7th District primary. However, it was not the only issue raised, and I am inclined to agree with Brat that the immigration issue, while in itself very important to conservative voters, actually served to contrast the two candidates on their respective ideologies. Cantor was seen as having shifted his loyalty from his conservative ideology to his party, and he got slammed for it. As I said in the last segment, a conservative faithful to conservative ideology and able to articulate that ideology effectively will almost always beat a wishy-washy party faithful. But more importantly, party faithful moderate conservatives rarely, if ever, beat an ideologically committed liberal. Haven't you been paying attention? When the voters have an opportunity to choose between a clearly committed conservative ideologue who has the gift to articulate his conservative ideology and the character to convince the people of his sincerity. If he has a choice between that and virtually any liberal, the conservative almost always wins in a general election in this country. It's just that we almost never get that opportunity. And the reason is the disease of party politics that has infected the conservative side, the bane of good government, exactly as Washington warned us in his farewell address to the country. Okay, you have heard about the thousands of kids streaming across the border at the Rio Grande and over there in Arizona. Here's a report that claims 47,000 unaccompanied children have illegally entered the United States since October 2013. Now, that is a 90% increase in illegal traffic across our borders. Now, these include children as young as 6 years of age. And they are not all originating in Mexico, by the way. Many are originating in El Salvador and as far as 1,000 miles away, even as far as Honduras. In Nogales, they are now holding 750 children from ages 3 to 18. I understand from this report that 48,000 have come across the Rio Grande in the last month. It is estimated that as many as 90,000 unaccompanied children will cross the Mexican border this year. Now, that's up from an average of 6,500 per year over the past. Now, Texas and Arizona, feeling the brunt of this, blame Obama for sending repeated signals to these countries that he intends to provide amnesty to illegals, and especially is willing to make concessions to children who are here illegally. And of course, the question is why? I mean, okay, I get the whole better life here thing that we've heard ad nauseum, but what boosted this latest tidal wave, or I guess we should call it a tsunami, of especially unaccompanied children crossing our borders in such huge numbers? Obama says it is owing to the rising violence in these countries, and that that is what is driving the children to flee their homeland to find refuge in America. Well, aren't their parents coming with them? And anyway, well, let's look at Honduras and El Salvador as samples of this. All right, El Salvador's current intentional homicide rate is 41.2 deaths by homicide per 100,000 population, as opposed to a U.S. average of, what is it, 4.7? Most of this in El Salvador is coming from conflict between the gangs and the police. The citizens are not targeted. If you eliminate the deaths of gang members and police from the statistic, it's much lower. However, even when this is done, it's still a substantial difference. Yet in El Salvador, there has always been a very high murder rate. For example, in 1995, the murder rate was 139.1 per 100,000. Did you hear what I said? Basically, 140 per 100,000. And that didn't trigger a massive exodus of children coming across our borders without their parents. The murder rate went down steadily until in 2009, it reached a low of 70.9. What? And now it's a mere 41.2? Yeah, I get it. 41.2, as compares to 4.7, is a pretty substantial difference. But do you get it? From 139.1 to 41.2, the murder rate declining significantly in that country over the years? And all of a sudden, that triggers this massive exodus? How about Honduras? Well, in 2009, the intentional homicide rate was 70.7. In 2010, it was 81.8. In 2011, it was 91.4. In 2012, it was 90.4. It's currently 90.4, so it has somewhat evened out. My point is, why is there such a massive exodus now when the intentional murder rate has always been so very high in that country and has been virtually unchanged for the last 3 or 4 years? Besides that, Venezuela has a rate that's higher than El Salvador, 53.7. Belize has 44.7, all higher than El Salvador, which is 41.2. So I don't know. It might have something to do with Biden sending out the message to our Central American neighbors, come on in, the welfare is fine. Vice President Biden painted a rosy picture of the outlook for United States businesses Tuesday, but said economic growth hinges in part on immigration reform. He said, quote, we need it badly from a purely economic point of view, end quote. During remarks to the National Association of Manufacturers, Biden said a key to the country's solid economic footing is, quote, the constant, unrelenting stream of immigrants that has come to the United States for generations. Biden said, no dribbling, significant flows, he called for. Since the Obama administration has done virtually nothing and has really called for no real reforms to move the obstacles that hinder and discourage legal immigration, we must assume Biden and his pal and his boss there want more illegal immigration. Now, of course, they won't say that, but think about it. Perhaps it has something to do with Obama's recent flurry of announcements promising he will not enforce immigration laws. Have you been listening? Representative Stephen King complained that, quote, the president has sent the message out. He is not going to enforce the law, end quote. And you and I have heard him do this many times. Currently, quote, U.S. law prohibits the Department of Homeland Security from immediately deporting the children if they are not from Canada or Mexico. Instead, the children are turned over to Department of Health and Human Services supervision within 72 hours of DHS taking them into custody, an official said. These children typically get lost in society and become part of the ever-growing population of undocumented aliens. An organization of former Border Patrol agents charged that the federal government under Obama is deliberately manipulating this, purposely trying to instigate a flood of immigrant children to arrive in America for political purposes. Quote, this is not a humanitarian crisis. It is a predictable, orchestrated, and contrived assault on the compassionate side of Americans by her political leaders that knowingly puts minor illegal alien children at risk for purely political purposes, end quote, said the statement released by the National Association of Former Border Patrol Officers. So what are we going to do with these kids? Sort of reminds me of that scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark when Indy's friend sent in a crowd of children to encircle Indy so he was able to walk out of a precarious situation. And his friend remarked that the children shielding him was better than the U.S. Marines, har har, only this is not funny. Obama's using these children and in fact exposing them to great danger by manipulating them and their parents who sent them to do this for political reasons. But it's like I said, for guys like Obama, lying, manipulating the law, you know, cheating, stealing, exposing children to life-threatening dangers, typical of that radical Islamic mentality of hiding behind women and children to advance their agenda. Interesting. Well, That is all perfectly consistent with his ideology of lies and deceit to get power to force his agenda on people against their will. We, on the other hand, operate under the restraints of an ideology that makes this sort of behavior repugnant, distasteful, even reprehensible. When our side surrenders conservative ideology in order to get along with those who never surrender their ideology to achieve their goals, we lose. And it's what makes the conservative side look like the liberal side. It's because the conservative side acts like the liberal side. Okay, I've got a sign off for today. Oh, wow, look at this. Some of Bergdahl's letters to his family have surfaced, new ones, which were written while he was in captivity, and suggest that Bergdahl was explaining why he left his platoon, why he walked off to surrender to the Taliban. And in it, he asks for everyone to hold off judgment until they know all the facts, and the facts he presents are things like he didn't like the way the leadership was performing their duties. Basically, that's what it comes down to. Felt the leadership was exposing the troops to unnecessary danger and risk. Wow. A deserter. Plain and simple. Now, and I look at this. I was going to do the entire show on this, but I'll have to address it later. But the evidence that Obama is working on the inside of our government to aid and abet the terrorists is mounting, and it appears he's taking wild measures here to that end as he wraps up his occupation of the White House. He releases five terrorists in exchange for this Bergdahl fellow who deserted to the other side, and it's appearing more and more like either this was planned or provided the opportunity for Obama, one that he was looking for, to release the terrorists. At the same time, withdrawing our troops strategically, allowing the terrorists to resurge, especially in Iraq, so that all the blood and treasure poured into giving those dear people an opportunity to proudly display a purple finger. And you know what I'm talking about. Is being trampled into the desert sand there by this president's policies. So he's going to sit back and let all our effort go to loss in order to aid and abet the enemies, his buddies apparently, of this country to regain their footing in that country. And whether you are willing to admit it or not, my concern here is not political, it's ideological. I despise the politically motivated partisans in any party. God give us a godly ideologue whose ideals are shaped by the same beliefs that shaped the ideals of our founders. That Christ is king, not man, that all men are under the rule of law, and no man is the law, nor is any man above the law, and that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator, not government. Their creator, not Obama, their creator with certain unalienable rights, ideals that motivated our founders to strive for a system of governance, imperfect as it may be, but ideally suited to an imperfect world with imperfect men, establishing appropriate checks and balances all in place to check and stop a man just like this one, Mr. Obama. Our Constitution was constructed to protect us from a man like this. And let us hope it stands. Let us hope all America will wake up like it seems so many did in Virginia of late, and rise up in support of conservative ideology articulated by intelligent Christian conservatives and deliver us from party politics, because if you think about it, you will see that has been the woeful bane of our liberties these past five decades. God help us. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you call and let me know that you see they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000, and leave a message for me in our listener response hotline. It is a free call to anyone in the continental United States, from outside the country, or for those who prefer it, you can email me by going to our website at thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. If you're in a hurry, you just give me a lights on or lights off when you call and hang up. Or when you go to the website, just select lights on or lights off and hit send. But I prefer it when you write me a little letter or when you leave a message for me on our hotline. The hotline number is 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. I'll be in my pulpit Sunday night with an outstanding message that speaks to the value and importance of ideology in every part of our lives, including politics. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.